When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 9:05 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, powered by your friendly folks at collegeatmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, SonicCrow2 on Twitter, at SonicCrow. Though is where you'll find me on Venmo. And if you have, you know, questions, concerns, complaints, that's where really to reach out is Venmo.
Under Venmo is
immediately answered by me. It's the other side of me giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR. A man who is currently dressed in a peacock costume, and we're all assuming nothing else.
Are we just going to roll with it? I'm giving the Fort Payne ASMR this week?
No, I'm giving, you're first. It is.
Yeah, I know.
Ryan S. Starrett.
You said I was giving the Fort Payne ASMR.
I didn't say that.
You just did.
I said you were dressed in a peacock costume.
Before that.
Oh, well, the other guy's still here too. Man, it's been a heck of a day. I'm thrown off by the peacock costume.
Well, a lot of people are. I got a question for you though, Crow. Do you like seeing charges in basketball?
Ryan, I really don't, and I don't think anybody really does. And if you do, I have a.
You probably live in Arkansas.
I have a lot of follow-up questions about what you actually like about basketball, because it doesn't seem like it's the same thing that everyone else does.
My analogy for it was a quarterback stepping into a pass rusher to draw a roughing the passer. It's the same thing, right? I mean, like, it's not against the rules. It's just.
No, it's just stupid.
Yes, it helps your team. It's just, yeah, nobody likes that.
No, it is Neymar rolling around on the ground to try to get a penalty because a guy touched the back of his jersey inside the box. Yes, you can get the call, and he probably will, but he shouldn't do it. And the other thing, it's only this level. Only collegiate basketball does this. For some reason, if you go to top-flight high school games, you don't see guys sliding in to draw charges like this. If you watch the NBA, you never see this nonsense because they won't call it. Because
it's embarrassing.
And it's embarrassing, and they will not call it. They won't give that call to the defender.
Just imagine Shaq, just, you know, maybe like Chris Paul runs into him and just knocks Shaq over. Like,
if you see it in the NBA, it is because a guy has turned and the defender did not move, and the guy elbows the defender in the chest.
Yeah, there are situations where a charge is a correct call.
Right.
Trying to draw a charge sucks.
No, it's terrible. It's really stupid. And I think there's a type of basketball fan who loves it, and that basketball fan is usually a racist. And I am.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a racist.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, look.
Are they lacrosse players as well, girl?
No, you heard it here first. It is.
Lacrosse players love charges.
No. What? I like lacrosse. I'm a friend of the lax guy. But you heard it here first. There is some subset of college basketball fan who lives for the 6'3" white guy sliding underneath, drawing a charge, getting up, slapping the floor, wearing a big Wisconsin Badgers jersey on. Like, get out of here. It's just stupid basketball. No one's watching that. They don't have a drawing and charge contest at the All-Star game. They don't. We're here to watch dunks. We're here to watch ball movement. We're here to watch threes. Nobody is here to watch that. And people are like, well, you don't appreciate good defense. I really do. I really do appreciate good defense. I don't appreciate that nonsense.
Yeah, charge is not good defense.
No, move your feet.
Taking advantage of a rule.
move your feet, stay in front of the guy, play defense. Don't take advantage of a rule.
Especially when you're 6'10 and actually a good defender.
Right. Don't take advantage of the interpretation of a rule in college basketball. Anyway, also here is AU Chief.
I like charges. Just to throw that out there.
Did you say that 6'3 white guy? Is that what you said, Kuro?
No. Yeah, that's me. No, I like charges. I don't like I don't like a dude that's like 6'8 and falls over when you breathe on him and that's called a charge. I don't like that at all. Like that's but I still think it's part of the game. Like if you can stay in front of a guy and a guy like actually charges over you, then that's a charge. Right. That hardly ever gets called.
Would you celebrate having the best guy at taking charges in the league?
We had Jared Harper.
Like, oh yeah, he's got 40 charges taken this year.
See, we had Jared Harper, and Jared Harper would do the whole guy brushes his nose with an elbow and he moves his head back to get it to get the call.
Yeah.
But the guy sliding underneath the guy who's going to the basket, and then the guy leaves his feet so that he gets hit in the chest with a set of knees is, number one, dangerous. And number two, cowardly basketball. Stay in front. Don't let him get to the basket. That's why they don't call it in the NBA. It's because it's like, stay in front. Let him get to the basket. Don't play cowardly basketball. And then the other thing in college basketball, college basketball doesn't care about the restricted area whatsoever.
No, it's so stupid. Well, like we've seen it where there was one time Chuma like had like the edge of his heel on the line and they gave a block because of that. But then sometimes like there's dudes like all up in the restricted area for Auburn this week and they call the charge. The dude was in the middle of it. I just don't think that they get the calls right because dudes, I think it's a charge if a guy lowers his shoulder and just goes into you. I think that's a charge.
It's also like, more fun to call charges when you're a ref.
No, it is. Chief, you're absolutely right. That is a charge. Alan Flanagan has been called for.
They call that a block half the time.
Yeah, Alan Flanagan has been called for a lot of real charges this year.
Yes. Yeah. If you push a guy with your arm, charge, it's really stupid that Wendell Green can be called for a charge because Jalen Williams from Arkansas, who is nearly twice his size, almost literally, falls over when he hits him. Like that dude is a strong, great athlete. Wendell could get a run and go, and I don't think he's knocking that guy over. Like from one end of the court to the other. So that's just stupid. That's not what that rule's meant to do.
No. But it takes advantage of interpretation of the rule.
Right. And you shouldn't be able to run up underneath a car and stop like happens sometimes. The old Harry Kane move, as it would be in the Premier League.
Oh, that stuff is not only not called in the NBA. Oftentimes, that stuff gets called a block or a flagrant. Like if they think you're not giving the guy a room to land.
Right.
Or you've run up underneath him after he left his feet. No chance. Like, you're not getting the call. Where in college, they're not supposed to give him the call either. If the guy has left his feet or in the process of leaving his feet and you slide into place, that's a block. Yet, we see referees miss that call and mess that up so much that guys will still do it because they know it's a 50-50 chance.
Well, I think some of what is happening may be that the athletes have just gotten so quick now that they can get to this place and not be moving, but it's so quickly before the person gets there that there's like the person has no way to go around them or anything. And that's not really what the charge is supposed to be for. Right. The charge is supposed to be you literally just charged over someone to get where you wanted to go.
Right.
Not that, you know, you were on your way there and they stepped in the way. That's not really how that's supposed to happen. And that's how it's called.
No, it's stupid. They're dumb. Move your feet. It's like 2-3 zone defense. It's not the game. All right. And I coach 2-3 zone.
Twitter wars, though,
so. I like 2-3 zone a lot of times, but I will admit it's not pure basketball.
It's cowards basketball.
It's cowards basketball.
It's because it's easy.
Yeah, exactly. Get up there. Play man to man. get a stop. Auburn played a little bit of baseball, though. And as your number one chief baseball correspondent on this podcast, I thought it, you know, I should make the long trek out to Arlington, Texas to see opening day.
And now, I did. How long a drive is that there,
Grant? 30 minutes.
Nice.
From my house.
Not bad at all.
No, it's not bad at all. Tollway. It's tollway the whole way.
So it's like driving from Auburn to Valley is basically what you did.
Yeah. Similar to driving. Sure. It's the same similar to driving to Valley.
Phoenix City.
And it was an interesting experience. I would say very different seeing college baseball in a pro stadium in February than seeing college football in a pro stadium or college basketball in a pro stadium. It's interesting. It was. I mean, not even a tenth full. Like, it was very bizarre in that aspect.
Well, it's a tough thing because it's college baseball. So,
right,
the number of fans is already, it's a niche sport, and then you've got a few teams that travel from a long way away. I mean, even Texas Tech, like Lubbock,
Texas Tech's a long way away. Kansas State's close. A long way away. Arizona's a long way away.
Yeah. So all the teams except for Oklahoma, are really far away, and so you probably aren't going to have that many fans. Auburn, I know 4-5 people that flew out.
I would say at the game that I went to, which again, here's all that's going against Auburn or going against this tournament from being well attended. Number one, the first game was at 11 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
Now I have Fridays off, so I could go, but the average guy is not driving to Arlington at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So Auburn had about the same number of fans there as Oklahoma for this game.
That's great.
Especially at first pitch. By the end of it, I think a lot more OU fans kind of wandered in. But because you could buy like a session pass or you could buy like the full tournament pass. I bought a session pass. So theoretically, I could have stayed and watched the whole day's worth of baseball games.
Children with you, though.
But I had kids with me, so I didn't do that. But we did make it to the top of the ninth, which is an unbelievable win.
It's great. Yeah.
Does that make you feel good as a dad? Like you were able to survive that?
I think I literally achieved, like an achievement unlocked. Mm-hmm. You take two kids under four to a baseball game and make it to the top of the ninth.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, the other weird thing about seeing college baseball in a pro stadium is it's like they also like you're not paying $11 for a beer at
11 in the morning.
At 11 in the morning at Samford Stadium, Hitchcock Field, Pleasant Park. You're also not paying $10 for a burger.
Oof.
So that's an interesting. They didn't change.
Did Jerry Jones build this place? No. Like, what is this?
They didn't change the concession prices, which was interesting. But it was like, so this is one of the larger new parks in Major League Baseball. And I would imagine there was less than 3,000 people there. Oh, man. Actually, now I'm thinking about it. Less than 1,000. Maybe 1,000 people there.
Wow.
And they weren't on the field on scholarship to play baseball. And they didn't... The whole stadium was open, except the concessions were only open like in the lower level because they figured everybody would sit down there. But randomly, you'd look up and you'd see some random guy just like way out in the outfield sitting in center field. Like, what is he doing?
Brad Law, who was on a solo call all weekend
for
these games, mentioned that they're like he was giving updates on the number of people sitting in the outfield. At one point, there were 9.
Oh, man. See,
I love getting a game from the outfield, though.
I imagine that the later games, like I think the Saturday game was at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I bet that was pretty well attended.
Yeah, but that was pretty fun. And apparently, like a lot of Auburn people went over to Texas Live to watch the basketball game right afterwards. And I bet that was a blast.
I bet there were more people, especially Auburn people, because we've got a lot of alumni out there.
Yeah, so tons.
Probably from all teams, there were probably a lot more people there on Saturday and Sunday, I would think.
Because it was fun. Like, they played the at-bat music for everybody for both teams.
Yeah.
They played the cool. Like, they had, like, all the video board stuff from Auburn and from Oklahoma. And it was good baseball. Like, it was the first game, the game I went to was crazy fast because it was 0-0 going into the seventh.
Yeah.
Like, it was pitcher's duel. Auburn kept getting guys on base. So did OU. It wasn't like it was a no-hitter. It was like just stranding guys.
Yeah, we had really good pitching this weekend. It makes me pretty hopeful for how well we're going to do.
I was going to say the same thing.
The worst inning may have been the very first inning, of which, what was his name? One of the new guys was pitching. It wasn't a disaster. He didn't allow any runs, but
right.
But he got pulled. But that may have been the worst inning that Auburn pitched all tournament. It's pretty awesome.
I saw a friend of the program, Kevin Ives. Was that the game? He and I sat together for a little bit. What I really appreciated, there is this like diehard contingent of Auburn baseball fans that traveled to this game. And so if you go to a lot of Auburn baseball games, like I did, went to a few when I lived in Auburn, you recognize some faces. Like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that's that guy who sits over there. Oh, she always sits above. Like, you kind of know it's kind of like Cheers. Mm-hmm. And I have said the same thing. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of people here that I know that I recognize. Yeah, it was good. I think the team looks – I think Drew McCracken last week said the right things. Like, it's going to come down to can we pitch and can we get hits strung together at the right times? Because that was the issue at the game I went to. We were getting the bat on the ball. It was, we got a guy on second. Can we get him in?
Yeah, you got to see Sonny Teixeira in action, which must have been great. He had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, he really did.
Overall, so.
Yeah, he really did. I think the bullpen is going to be, that's what Ives told me. It really is the bullpen that's going to come. The season's going to hinge on can we get from the sixth to the ninth inning nicely? And that's how we win games. You guys want to talk basketball? Auburn went 2-1.
May as well.
This weekend, by the way, in baseball.
Oh yeah, we do have a baseball game on Wednesday, right before the basketball game. So
yeah, we'll get there. We'll get to that in a minute, but get to the basketball game early Wednesday, and you can watch baseball.
All right. So Auburn went 1-1 in basketball last week. Still maintains the best record in the conference, both home and away.
By one game.
It's important to note that Auburn is still the best road team in the conference and the best home team in the conference, and the best overall team in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
By a game, which means that even if Auburn were to lose a game, the best Kentucky could do this week is tie, unless Auburn lost two games this coming week. Anyway, Auburn beat the brakes off of Vanderbilt, and I think the Florida loss, in my opinion, the Florida loss kind of made people forget the Vanderbilt win, because Auburn lost on the road to a quad one team,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah, a team one. Still, yeah, a team that we may have put in the tournament by giving them that win.
Yeah,
so, probably got
not a bad team.
Yeah,
in a place that we haven't won since I was 11 years old, by the way. So this
that would be before the Baton Rouge streak started. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Meanwhile, Auburn welcomed a first round draft pick at guard into the arena. And beat the stink off of the Vanderbilt Commodores. A lot of people after this week had questions about our guard play, and I would say, I mean, they played a better guard than Vanderbilt has than they're going to play the rest of the year. Like, I don't think we're playing anybody that has any better guard than Scottie Pippen Jr.
No, we don't. He was everywhere and everything for them. So,
yep. But as Bruce says, though, sometimes you guys may have a great team, but we have number 10. So,
bro,
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
Jabari.
Jabari is I mean, the light has come on. I think the light has well, I think what is truly happening is that we're putting more on him now. I mean, there was a concerted effort not to put as much on him. I mean, I think he played 33 minutes against Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know how many he played against Vandy. And even then, Bruce, which I think you have to take Bruce's words after that Florida game. You have to put him through a Bruce translator. It wasn't that Jabari doesn't need to be having these kind of performances and playing that many minutes and shooting that much. It's just that everybody else needs to do a little bit more.
Right.
28 minutes for Jabari in the Vandy game and 33 in the Florida game, like you said.
Yeah. So
which is going to
be not a lot. I mean, your best player normally plays at least 30 minutes a game.
Yeah. And I think I did see somebody say that the only thing disconcerting about the Florida loss is that this person, who's normally pretty negative on Twitter anyway, said that that was a tournament game in terms of it was slow paced, slow up and down, and Auburn lost it. But it's like, yeah.
Play road games in the tournament, though.
I mean, that it was no road two games in a row that a guard just lit us completely on fire. Applebaum had an incredible game against us at Florida. And then, of course, Scottie Pippen Jr. did, who is the best guard in the conference.
He's better than
I mean, part of that was, though, that Florida, who, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, you assured us, did not shoot the three very well.
Yep.
But could not miss. I mean, They missed some extremely wide open ones, but they just, like, they were guarded. Nah, they're hitting it.
Appleby hit a couple threes, five and ten from three. Couple fade away or fading to the side or just some tough shots that like
frustrating.
You have to be okay with the defense there, and he was hitting. Yeah. But hey, let's stay on Vandy.
Oh yeah, I thought we were doing a potpourri of.
Well, Jabari against Vanderbilt. Jabari had 31 points, career high, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He went 7 for 10 from 3. Guys, he is shooting over 50% from 3 in Auburn's last 7 games. He missed his first 2 threes in this game, which means that he made 7 of his next 8 shots from 3. And he still wasn't the game MVP on KenPom because if your team does not have a post-scoring threat, you will not beat Auburn, period.
Correct.
And Walker Kessler will eat, and he had 22 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Wendell Green Jr. was
great game.
Very close to another triple-double for the Tigers.
Yep, very close.
12.79, but Scottie Pippen Jr., sure. Absolutely credit to him. For Vanderbilt, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. That is a monster game.
I think the jungle may have pissed him off a little bit. I guess.
Well, jungle did something that I really didn't like. I will say, maybe this is me being a nervous Nelly or whatever. But I don't like it when you reference players' family relationship, like people his mom has had a relationship with because she's famous. Like he can't control that. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
That's wrong. You can reference his dad.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. He played. I mean, I'm fairly sure that the referees were very aware of who his dad was because they were giving him some favorable calls and talking to him, cutting up with him a bit. And I'm like, that's a.
Was his dad surprise. There?
I don't think he was.
Doubt it. Yeah.
Okay.
No, because I would think if him and Chuck got along, maybe he would have tried to make the trip, but they don't.
So. Was Barkley there?
No, he wasn't.
Okay. All right.
The only Meta World Peace might be the most famous dad we've had in attendance.
I think Evander Holyfield was at something.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. I'm talking basketball. I don't think he was at basketball.
Oh. No, I saw him at a basketball game, but I don't remember why. But he was at an Auburn basketball game once. Oh, it was Vander Holyfield.
His kid went to Auburn.
Right. Champion of the world, Vander Holyfield.
Wait, okay. Wait. Holyfield's kid went to Georgia.
No. He had a child that went to Auburn.
He has, I think he had multiple children.
Wasn't his son a running back at Georgia, though?
That's correct.
That's correct, okay. but one son went to Auburn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this Florida game. The Vanderbilt game is great. It's worth rewatching. It's worth having saved on your hard drive for a rainy day.
That's a good summer rewatch.
Yeah.
If you're missing basketball.
Because the Florida game, Hubbard won two of the four factors. Better at offense three-point percentage and better at getting to the line, which is shocking because of how the second half went, but better at getting to the line than the Gators.
Auburn didn't shoot a first half free throw in that game.
Right.
Which is just incredible.
Auburn got outshot 46% to 45% at effective field goal percentage, and Auburn turned the ball over way too much for Auburn, 21%, which is extremely uncharacteristic. But what's funny thing is, it's the exact same number as the Vandy game. So what Auburn shows is that it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lose if you turn it over 21% of the time. I think at one point in the Florida game, though, I was listening to the call, and Sonny said that Auburn had much more turnovers than Florida, but also had outscored Florida off turnovers by a considerable amount. And that's how Auburn was staying in the game.
So I turned to the guy I was watching the game with, a friend of the show, Jeremy Golson, and told him, Auburn's passing the ball so poorly that it's not giving up fast break turnovers.
Yeah, just throwing
the ball out of bounds.
So ridiculous.
It's not a bobbled ball or, you know, nobody's jumping a lane. It's just they're throwing the guy's head by 2, 3, 4 feet.
I've watched a lot of bad Auburn basketball, and I have to say I've never quite seen the ball thrown out of bounds as many times as we did it in this game. It was bizarre.
And that kind of happens on the road.
It was just so bizarre because it was like Flan did it, KD did it, Wendell did it, Jabari did it.
It was a team effort on the turnovers.
Just crazy.
That kind of stuff happens on the road, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's you're hearing things you're not used to hearing or what, and so you don't know where guys are, but or lack of focus, who knows? But you don't see that happening much at home for most teams.
Right, right.
Speaking of Jabari, he was great.
Really cooking in this one.
4 or 5 from 3 on the road. That's ridiculous. He had 28 points and 7 rebounds. Shot 50% from the floor. I mean, made a lot of free throws. Like, it was...
Probably should have shot the ball a few more times.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, yeah, he should have been...
Particularly in some high-pressure situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walker Kessler...
Over the last 2 games, you mentioned how good he's been over from 3 or the last
7 games.
But in the last 2 games, that makes him 11 of 15 from 3.
That is bonkers numbers.
He's on fire. He's on fire. He is on fire.
Some team's going to draft him as a 3 guard, man. That is crazy.
Oh, there's no positions at the next level. All right.
Yeah, that's true.
Walker Kessler, though, this is the thing, in my opinion. People will point to the end of the game or the end of the half as this is where the game was won or lost. Walker Kessler has been the KenPom MVP, or if you're not into KenPom, the most important player on Auburn's team, just by the eye test, in conference play. And in every game Auburn has lost, Walker really hasn't had great games. I think Arkansas, he was fine. Against UConn, I don't remember much from Walk in that game.
Yeah, that was the Sonogo game.
He was on the bench a lot in that game.
That's so far back, though. I mean,
I don't think I'm really
super
counts.
Relevant to what's going on right now.
Yeah, because we weren't really a team yet then.
And Walker Kessler in this game, 11 points, only 3 rebounds, the leading block shot getter in the conference and in the country, had zero blocks.
None, and Castleton, eight in this game.
Castleton, eight. And four fouls. And I don't know if it was... We have here two were stupid, two were earned fouls. I would say, look, the referees in college basketball are not great.
Yeah.
But you know that.
The fact that our season basically hinges on are they going to call it tight on Walker is a bit of an issue. Like,
yeah.
Because that's you go into the game not knowing how's this going to go. And it comes
and
down
I think
to.
It's, go, sorry, go ahead.
Can Walker adjust in game to the officiating is going to be enormous for Auburn going forward. Can he figure out what they will not call and then do that? Because that's a gift and a talent some guys have that are able to read the officiating and go, look, okay, they're going to call that a foul. I won't do that anymore. They're not calling this a foul. I'm going to give them this. And he hasn't been able to do that in these kinds of guys. This is the second time against Florida he has gotten in foul trouble and basically been neutralized. And it bit us in the butt last game.
I think it's just as much Colin Castleton, for whatever reason, has his number.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was the Florida game early in conference play where Castleton had 22 points. And I think he had a double-double. 22 and 10. And Walker was sitting on the bench with fouls. Sometimes specific guys just have your number.
I think the deal is Castleton is not a guy that has to get directly to the rim to score. He can put it up and get it up over Walker because he's also almost 7 feet or right around in there. And I just noticed that he has a real good like little baby hook deal that he can do. Yep. He doesn't rely on trying to go through Walker to score. And I think that it has a lot to do with it. He's also a pretty good rebounder.
And he's a smart player. He knows
how. Yeah, he's very, very, very smart.
He's a senior. He's been in the SEC for 4 years now. He gets how the conference was played.
So annoying with that T-shirt.
Sorry, I take it back. He started 2 years in Michigan and Florida last year.
But and what I want from Walker, figure out what the referees are calling and don't do that. Castleton is a master of, well, the refs are going to call that a foul? I'm doing that every time. I'm trying to get Walker into that every single time. He's a smart player. But those kinds of guys exist in college basketball where they can figure out how to draw fouls. Jared Harper was a genius at this. Jared Harper was a genius at figuring out where the line was, where the referees will call it, and go in there and do it.
I think Jabari's actually pretty good at that.
Jabari's
too,
so good at it.
Absolutely. Crazy because he's a freshman. Allow me to do a little production work while we're on the air here. How about after we win the national championship, so no one can blame us for complaining, we have a show this summer where we propose how to fix college basketball referee.
Sure.
We can bring on Ferg. He has some good ideas about it, too. I bet he'd be into that.
I only have one idea about it, but they've been having it.
Just make them full-time employees?
Make them full-time employees FIBA run it.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but I think there's a deeper conversation than just that could be had about it.
Auburn played from behind. So Auburn played from behind a lot of this game because of turnovers. Not a great bench game. Not a great Devin Cambridge game. Not a great Dylan Cardwell game. The guys who have major factor, who are major factors in our big wins, were not major factors in this game.
Yeah,
I mean the bench had 9 points, 4 fouls, 5 turnovers, and was sub 25% shooting.
Jalen only played 7 minutes, but he was basically a ghost in this game.
Yeah, he had a rough first half, and it was Jabari playing well. You couldn't afford to put him on the court.
I thought Dylan played pretty well in the first half, and then I could not mention – I don't remember a thing that he did in the second half.
Yeah, he didn't have a bad game necessarily. He just didn't score much. I think he had 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, Walker struggles with Castleton, then, I mean
– Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the last Florida game,
Dylan
Castleton 8.
5 from the field, Carvel 2 points, 3 rebounds, a block, a steal, 2 fouls.
So let's talk about end-of-half situations. there are those online who think that Bruce is actually really bad at this. That is a thought. I don't think Bruce is everyone's bad at this. This is not an easy you lose a lot more games where you go in down one. You know what I mean? There are a lot of coaches who are like, oh man, I'm super confident that us down one with 10 seconds left or whatever. No, most people lose when you're down one with less than 15 left on the clock.
Yeah.
I just like basketball is not a one play sport. So many more things came into play in this game than just what happened at the end of each half. But at the same time, what happened in each half was not good. And we walked out of that game without getting a shot off at the end of the game, down one, and with two timeouts. So, something's up.
And with the guy that's the hottest, I can't imagine there's anybody hotter than Jabari right now at shooting in the league. It didn't touch the ball either at the end of either half. So,
no, like we mentioned, he's shooting 80% in the last two games from three, and he didn't touch the ball in the last. Yeah,
and I don't think this was a didn't have the right play drawn up kind of situation. I mean, we talk about that all the time. Bruce is awesome at inbound plays.
Yeah,
this is a weird place to inbound from, though.
It's a weird place to inbound. It was a kind of an awkward amount of time left. Like, it wasn't a full shot clock, but it also wasn't a catch and shoot situation.
Are we talking about the end of the game?
End of the game. So end of the half, you had a full shot clock.
Yeah.
End of the game, you had 7 seconds.
I think he should have just planned to call timeout as soon as you get across half court.
And he agree. Said as much post game. So Bruce agrees. I mean, he said as much post game.
Chief, that is 1,000% what you do.
Yeah, you just get it across, call the timeout. You've got 5 seconds left. You're the king of inbound plays. You run a play for Jabari Smith, and you let him – that 5 seconds gives him plenty of time to do a little bit before the shot and then shoot.
Like, when he said after the game
– I understand not wanting to shoot a three. We only needed
– Yeah, we're only down one.
So I think a play to Walker Kessler – is the right move.
That was the call.
I don't know, man.
Well, Jabari, I mean,
you're playing to a guy who has 11 Jabari. Points, 3 rebounds, and 4 fouls, who's not been in the game as much as he normally is, and who isn't it's not like Walker's dominating. They're pretty well neutralized Walker most of the game.
The play worked, but Walker got open enough. I'm with you. I think I'd just rather live and die with Jabari in that situation.
Let number 10 shoot it or not.
Said his name yet? It was a rough look for Wendell.
Yeah. Okay. So I was extremely mad at him again. Yeah. As you guys can attest, at right
both
after
halves. Both halves.
But then when I watched it again, that it wasn't. I know a lot of people are like, look, there he goes again. It was not the same thing that happened against Arkansas at all.
No,
or the end of the first half.
At Arkansas, the end of the first half is the same thing as Arkansas.
Right, it was exactly
Wendell was not trying to get his shot.
Definitely not.
To the detriment of that play, maybe.
In fact, like, I would have rather him just pull it and shoot it.
If Wendell has shot in his mind there, we might at least we get a shot off. It was running a play, and then the play almost immediately broke down. I'm not real sure. I know what. So I think Bruce described it as supposed to be a handoff to Kessler. Is that what he?
I don't know if it was a handoff or if he was trying to get Kessler to slip past that.
He did get the slip, but Alan Flanagan. Was supposed to be the safety valve, but what he ends up doing is dragging his man into the play. So there's three guys.
Yeah, there's three guys in front of Wendell.
Between Wendell and Kessler.
With about 3 seconds left.
Yeah, so he can't do anything. He can't – I imagine he can't even see Jabari because of that third guy that rolls in. And then he tries to drive around, and it's over at that point. Once he turns to go back the other way, because I think he was supposed to go to the left – it's just over. The play's over.
Like, I literally would have rather him just take a 17-foot jump shot at that point. Legitimately.
He thought about it, But that thing was.
But then he was double covered, and yeah,
and that thing was going to get sent to the other end of the floor if he shot that. So, it just broke down, and plays break down, and it's unfortunate that one was at the end of the game, and we're not used to a play breaking down like that from an inbound with our coach, because that's his specialty. So,
right,
I think anger towards Wendell in that situation is misplaced. I realized that pretty shortly after the game. It's just things happen. If we had hit one more free throw, we're going to overtime. If we hit two more, we're winning the game. It's just
and that dude is I would, like we are. We feel a lot like this is a one season chance that Auburn's got.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that. And all Auburn fans are, you know, we've bought in. We're all in. All our chips in the middle of the table.
It's hard to believe we'll ever have a more talented roster.
No. However, we'll have basically have the same backcourt next year. You know what I mean? Like
a deeper one, more importantly.
There's a case to be made that Wendell Green, Katie Johnson are not playing their best basketball that they'll play at Auburn.
Right.
But that their junior year,
right,
they will look back at this season as what got them to maybe their final. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know.
Yeah. Dylan Cardwell's come on this season, and his sophomore season will be a junior next year. I mean, there's reason to believe we will have a great team in the future. It's just it's hard to believe you'll ever have Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler.
No.
Especially at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will also say,
and I think that's what at least my frustration was, not with Wendell, not with any one in particular, but we've gone both halves of the Florida game, the Arkansas end of the game, the Georgia end of the game, Missouri end of the game, and the best player in the country hasn't taken the shot at all.
No, right. That's true. That's troubling. That's a trend.
Yeah, I don't know. Say, oh, we think he's going to be doubled. We don't want to put it in his hands. Maybe he's a freshman. At a certain point, he's earned it. I mean, he's put, 60 points, 59 points in the last two games? You got to give it to the best player, the hottest shooter, and give him that moment.
If Jabari had the
first time in the tournament.
If Jabari had the attitude of to match his talent, what many people that are as talented as him have as their attitude, he would have punched somebody out after that game and after the Arkansas game.
That would probably qualify him to be the Michigan head coach.
It's true. Yeah,
well, it's true. But Jabari's pretty unselfish, and I actually think it's pretty clear that it took Bruce telling these dudes, like, you've got Jabari Smith on your team. Like,
right.
Given the ball, and you know, he was kind of covered in that situation too. Plus, like,
Wendell wasn't the play. No, exactly. Like, he was covered, but also, like, the play, obviously he was just supposed to stand there in the corner, and if all of a sudden there was a collapse.
And look, that's smart, because maybe he does draw the double and somebody's open. I get that. It's just, man, my total hindsight, get the ball to him, let him dribble on his right, all the way to that right-hand spot where he likes to shoot from, and just shoot. And you can shoot, and you still have 2 seconds left to maybe get a rebound.
For Walker to get a putback,
Yeah.
So I would say what I said in the Slack the other day is that, in reference to Ryan's tweet that's now infamous, that's his pinned tweet, I just want to feel about Auburn football the way I feel about Auburn basketball. The things that I saw on Auburn basketball Twitter made me nervous that there are people who are beginning to feel about Auburn basketball the way they feel about Auburn football. And what happens is there's a life cycle of a program or of like a fandom.
Just happy to be here.
Where you're just happy to be here. So I like to use this with the Mavericks because I'm in the middle of it at the moment. When the Mavericks got Luka, they were horrible. They were one of the worst teams in the league. Hence, they have a top 10 pick. And they get Luka, and everyone's like, this is great. We get to watch Luka play, blah, blah, blah. They don't make the playoffs. The next year, and no one cares. They don't make the playoffs, nobody cares. The next year, they make the playoffs. They're out in the first round. Hey, no big deal. First playoff, blah, blah, blah. It's not a big deal. The next year, they make the playoffs. They're out in the first round again. And then it's all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. We got to make it past. We fired the coach. We got to make it past the first round next year. And now, we get a new coach. We have a superstar. But the expectations are, you've got to make it deep in the playoff.
Right.
The problem is, it's no longer nearly as fun. Like, the regular season now is not fun at all for Mavericks fans, for the most part, because you're just, everything is hinging on, will we get out of the first round of the playoffs? And if you don't, the season's ruined, and it was a terrible season. And that's a terrible way to watch sports.
I think there's an argument to be made that if Auburn were one game back from the lead for the league, people would be having a lot more fun right now because you're trying to get there. I think
the chase is more fun than staying on top.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Nervousness is really set in all over. Even if you're still peacocking, because I still think we're gonna win. I think we're gonna be pretty successful in the tournament.
Auburn is still favored to win the SEC outright. Not just split. Auburn is favored to win outright. That is the most likely outcome right now.
I do sense the nervousness. And when you lose, it does. There is a pattern. These road games have all been some breakdowns in how we play. And so you start to worry. Luckily, no tournament games are played in a road environment.
No.
Luckily. And
unless you're poor school that has to play, like, every year it seems like Duke or North Carolina gets to basically play a home game in Greensboro or something. You're like,
how do they Greensboro this year? Yeah. Duke is probably going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you get to do this every year?
I'm pretty okay feeling about the tournament because of the fact that we don't shoot a ton of threes. So we're not going to go in there and get cold against Clemson and get killed because we couldn't hit any shots.
No, it's going to be Jabari and Walker absolutely pummeling some poor Ivy League school or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. We should at least get out of the first round. And right as of now, and I don't think there's any reason to think that we won't be, we're a one seed. If we win the SEC tournament, I mean, I feel like we should be the overall one, but, you know, who knows?
The problem is, and I'm going to go ahead and say it again, if Auburn is the number one overall seed, or even just a one seed, or even a two seed, which I think would take some sort of a rough go in the SEC tournament at this
you're
point.
Probably losing two games and losing not in the championship game.
So even if all that happens, if this Auburn team doesn't make it to the Elite Eight, there are people who are going to think this is a failure or a wasted season. And that is, man, that's horrible. I'm just going to tell you, that's a lame ride to get on.
Yep. Get out of the first weekend. Hang a banner. Get out of the first weekend. Tough, that's a good year.
The tournament is not.
If we hang a banner, everything else is a cherry on top.
Absolutely.
Right? That's really, I mean, just making it to the tournament will be incredible.
If you're mad because Auburn basketball does not win a national championship, man, you're not as self-aware as you should be. Because saying that out loud more than once should let you know exactly how happy you are.
Like I can't feel that way even if we were to win one this year. I can't feel that way about the next time we make, you know, have a good team and are headed into the tournament. Because it's such a crapshoot. Like,
we could win it this year. If we won it this year, we could miss the tournament next year. And I would still be like, you know what? It's fine.
Actually, I am pretty invested in us getting a little streak of making the tournament going, because it's kind of a bummer that
we haven't missed the tournament in a couple of years.
Oh, Brian. All right. Mr. Technical.
Did we miss it last year?
We did.
Declined.
We had sanctions.
Yeah, we took away the ability to make the tournament.
Oh, that's right. True. We couldn't have gone.
We couldn't if we wanted to.
Yeah.
We suspended our.
Auburn also hasn't lost an SEC tournament game since 2018.
Yeah. 3 years.
I will say that I think last year's team would have been a pretty good SEC tournament team.
Yeah. Yeah. The year before,
they were going to win a tournament. I don't know.
But. Like a healthy Sharif, a healthy Thor. I like last year's team's chances.
Yeah.
But I think Sharif was hurt, wasn't he?
He came back towards the end. I can't remember.
No, he sat out the rest of the year after a certain point.
Yeah, he got hurt and missed the rest of the year.
But if there had been if a we were going to be in the tournament, he may have.
Yeah. That's true.
I think Isaac Okoro would have been the SEC tournament MVP had he been able to play in it.
But we would have won a national championship 2 years ago. If
That team was gelling at the exact right time.
They were, and Okoro was so good. My goodness.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And we're back, 42 minutes, 59 seconds. We'll just call it an even 43. This coming week, we've got the Ole Miss Running Rebels.
Having a bit of a hard time. As of late,
they are. They're having a tough go of it here pretty recently. They're number 100. That's a top 100 KenPom win if Auburn were to win.
All right.
Yeah.
By beating them, we might knock them out of the top 100.
Yeah, it's true. This game is going to be taking place at 7:30 p.m. Central on SEC Network. And, this one should be a breeze for the Tigers. Auburn is
one of the last two home games of the year.
This is probably one of the last 80 minutes of game action that Jabari Smith will play in Auburn.
Yeah, I appreciate the probably there, girl.
Probably. Unless things just go real wrong.
Unless it goes to overtime, Ryan.
Unless things go real wrong and we somehow end up in the NIT this year instead of
Woof. I don't know. I don't know what would have to happen. even if Auburn lost out, they're probably still a 4 seed.
Right.
Auburn has 24 wins.
Man, incredible. Yeah, the Rebs, don't think we got to worry about Kermis Davis's team this time around. We handled them pretty well last game after they played maybe their best half of basketball they've ever played under him.
They don't have home rims either now.
They defied Mr. Sterrett's proclamation.
They still didn't shoot that well.
Well, right.
Just for the first half, they couldn't miss.
They could not miss. but, yeah, I think we should kill them, right?
The 16-point favorite on KenPom.
They do have a 7-foot-tall center in Brooks who is their leading rebounder. He's a 10-point-a-game, 7-rebound-a-game guy. So again, I think the game is played there. Can our 7-footer stay on the court?
Brooks against Auburn last time, 14-8 with 4 turnovers. Ole Miss is down Dacian Ruffin, their good point guard who was an Auburn commit at one time. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup all year, but did play against Auburn earlier this year. But Ty Fagan, the former Georgia guard, seems like everybody has one of those, has played pretty well for him. Their offense isn't really the issue. It's their defense that's been killing them. They just, if you look at their KenPom page on defense, there's a lot of red, and red's bad. They're 12th in three-point percentage given up, 13th in two-point percentage given up, 13th in block percentage on defense. I mean, they're just letting teams shoot them out of the gym.
Why does KenPom care about free throw percentage given up?
I don't know, but Auburn is terrible at it.
Yeah, Auburn's horrible at it, but I was just looking at it like...
They just list it for
who cares?
Yeah, the Auburn defense, the teams that are shooting free throws against Auburn average better than 13 teams in the conference.
That sounds unlucky.
Yeah, it's just bad luck.
Just straight up
extremely unsustainable.
Luck.
That should help. Like, SEC opponents are shooting 76% from the stripe.
That's ridiculous. And
D1 average is 71%. So,
how is this? I don't know how it's possible.
We got to start playing with Nike balls at home so that the other teams can't hit their free throws or something.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't be able to shoot at all.
It's true. I don't know why you would choose to have a different ball than they play with in the tournament, but whatever.
Because you get money from the supplier. Well, because this is collegiate athletics, Chief. It's not a professional or semi-professional league. Where there'd be a standardized ball and a standardized system of refereeing.
Well, there used to be a standardized ball. Didn't that change just not that long ago?
Wasn't there one called, like, The Rock that teams used to use?
Oh, my God.
I remember that.
Jesus.
It was bad. It was like rubber, I think, too.
The greatest basketball ever, although this one is hideously ugly, and I don't know how it feels.
But, I dig a Spalding, not going to lie.
I've always hated Spalding.
And I also like a Molten ball. If you ever played with a Molten... It's a good one.
Never. I think
melted?
Molten is the brand that makes the FIBA ball. Okay. The ball you see in the Olympics is made by Molten. Yeah, I don't. And they are great.
Hey, sorry. While you are talking about the Olympics, I do want to take a slight detour. Jared Harper, Team USA player.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you're going to ask me to talk Stars about my Winter Olympic pitch, which is...
Don't have it.
No, oh. Dad's.
This was the least Olympics I've ever watched of an Olympics.
Okay. Didn't watch a single event.
If you're listening to this, IOC.
I didn't realize it ended.
If you're listening to this, Richard Pound at the IOC.
Dick here, Pound.
Here's the deal.
He goes by Dick.
Fathers removing car seats from one car and putting them and installing them into another smaller car in the winter. Is a better Winter Olympic sports than so many you've seen.
I think we need to start with the X Games and then kind of work our way into the Olympics with that one.
Because guys, that is a that's as good as biathlon.
Hey, now.
I want to see people.
I
won't
take any biathlon slander.
I want to see grown men screaming profanity at up a baby car seat on television.
The most biathlon I've watched was in a James Bond film.
I do like biathlon, though.
God, which one is that? It's where he's got the creepy relationship. It's a Roger Moore one.
Yeah, it's a Roger Moore one. I was just thinking. Is it The Spy Who Loved Me?
Is that one The Spy Who Loved Me? I was thinking that, but...
The book, The Spy Who Loved Me, is the creepiest piece of literature that I have ever read.
It's got a banging theme song, though.
The Spy Who Loved Me, the book, is not like the movie because the book is about a, there's no other way to put it, a girl writing a letter about a man who took her virginity, who happens to be James Bond. And that is the whole book. And it is something else, man.
Yeah. Hold on. Anyway, it's the one with the there's a whole scene with the German like biathlon guy that's in anyway, I'll figure it out.
Don't read the book.
There's biathlon in it. I can't remember if it's The Spy Who Loved Me. I don't think it is. Maybe it is.
Auburn's gonna beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss's best win is an LSU team that at the time was just like I think they were a triage unit at that point.
For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only. There it is.
That's right. That's right.
They lost to Mizzou twice. And they lost to Samford. Not Stanford. Samford. The Bulldogs.
Mm.
Beat this Ole Miss team.
That was before we played them the last time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ole Miss on offense is pretty bad. They do not get offensive rebounds. They do not go to the line a lot. And they get the ball stolen quite a bit. So this should be a Katie Johnson game. We need a Katie Johnson game because we need a game that kind of takes a little bit of pressure off of Wendell Green having to be the creator off the bench. I would love to see a Katie Johnson get 18 points game. Because coming up on Saturday, Auburn goes to Knoxville in what is most assuredly the most difficult game left on the schedule, right? Like, it's this,
well, or, without a doubt,
this, yeah, or the Mississippi State game. I think it's this.
By far this game.
Okay. Auburn actually, according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, should lose this game to Tennessee.
Yeah. Slight underdog. Yeah, like 41% on KenPom. So that's probably like a, what, two-point dog?
Yeah, it's fascinating because Auburn is, you know, doing well. And Tennessee
they
is
have,
a hot
have
team, I guess,
two,
now.
Two seven-footers in their front court, which is a little disturbing. One's a big German guy, I think.
Or is that Uros Plavsic?
Yeah.
Serbian.
They've also got a Finnish guy in Kamhua. Or I don't know how to say it. Olivier is his first name. But he's from Helsinki. Man. And he's a 6'8 forward who's their leading rebounder.
Rick Barnes, Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide himself. Yeah, it, I mean, especially because they got Santiago Viscovi as still at the guard from Uruguay. I think Auburn wins this game, though. This is the game that if I'm Bruce, you've got to, this game has got to be circled on the schedule every year, right?
Well, you like, win this, you hang a banner.
Right.
Because we've beaten Ole Miss. You win this, you hang a banner. Like, that's what you tell them.
Right.
You don't make history.
Yeah, you essentially, I mean, Kentucky's still just the one game back.
And it's, we don't have any weird hoodoo up in Knoxville. We've won there.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. Our coach is normally pretty good up in Knoxville.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, he has won there many times.
And he holds a grudge.
And yeah, and he's got Rick Barnes' number. Like, it's just.
A lot of people do, though, Chief.
It's true.
I think
I might have it.
You might have it. I think the interesting thing about this game is going to be like, does the team play tight knowing that if Auburn beats Ole Miss, this is effectively for the SEC regular season title game. Now, like, it isn't because Auburn still has to go and beat Mississippi State, I believe.
Well, it'd be nice if Kentucky lose between now and that game.
Yeah, anybody can lose.
Who do they have?
Well, do they play Arkansas before at Arkansas, or is that after?
No, Kentucky plays LSU in the midweek.
LSU is dangerous to me.
Yep, LSU midweek. LSU's finally getting healthy.
Yeah,
they're playing a little better. Arkansas on Saturday. Yeah, those are two pretty big games for them.
It would be nice if we went up there knowing if we win, we hang a straight up banner. That would have been nice, because then that takes the pressure off of you.
Yeah,
a little bit, because you still have padding. You could still hang a banner if you lose it, but it would be nice. But
yeah, down to clinching sometime in the next week and a half for a split, and then maybe you save the clinching outright against South Carolina at home. Similar to a couple years ago, beating South Carolina.
I think there's not a doubt in my mind that this is the one game that Bruce Pearl will have no trouble motivating these guys to win. I think he's a much better coach than Rick Barnes. We have a better team than they do. It all adds up to we should just win. Like, we'll do it. Just don't miss shots. We'll be fine. Let Jabari Smith shoot as many threes as possible, please.
Yeah, Auburn finally has a little bit of a size advantage in this game in the front, even in the front court. In the back court. They've kind of retooled their starting lineups where Zakai Ziegler, freshman point guard, he's only 5'9", and that pushes Kennedy Chandler out to the two. Say what now?
Nothing. He's the guy from Hackers and Con Air. Anyway, go ahead.
Kennedy Chandler was the point guard, moving over to the two. He's only 6 foot, and Viscovi going over to the three, 6'3". So Auburn has a size advantage there. Maybe there's a shot for the guard advantage.
I guess they don't have a like 6'6" shooting guard. Available? Do they?
They have them available.
Oh,
it's just maybe not found his way into the lineup much recently.
Weird.
Maybe they look at him and they're blinded every time they look at him, so they forget he's there. No?
Who knows?
Okay.
That player that we are not going to name at this point, let's see. I'm going to go in reverse order his point totals.
Oh, let's not talk about him, Ryan.
No, I'm doing it. I don't care.
Here's the deal, Ryan.
I don't care.
I want to talk
zero
a little bit better.
0 points against Arkansas, 0 points against Kentucky, 2 points against Vanderbilt, 0 Mississippi State, 0 South Carolina, 6 against A&M, 0 against Texas, 3 against Florida, 3 against LSU, 8 against Vandy, 6 against Kentucky.
He had a real
zero
embarrassing,
Carolina, zero against
real,
LSU.
Real embarrassing moment the other night, too. Real bad turnover.
I want to shout out to Rick Barnes, though, for making it to the 2003 Final Four. And he did do that. And he also went, to 14 straight tournaments, which was amazing.
Hey, better than Auburn, right?
But he has always had better players and cannot win the big one. So
poor guy. Hate it for him.
You hate it for him. All right, we have nothing else to talk about, guys, because we're not talking about anything else. Auburn soccer starts up here pretty soon, so we'll get started talking about that again.
We never talked about the schedule. I guess we can talk about that next time.
Yeah, I'll talk about that next time. I want to get closer to the actual exhibition games.
Yeah. We got some baseball, like we mentioned earlier, on Wednesday.
We'll recap those.
Not much else going on. Let's go win a championship this week.
That's what I'm talking about. Have a Wriggle weekend.
Keep on cocking.